The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back, final hour, and what a day this has been. We just had a question about Arkansas football, and that's exactly what we're doing next as we head to Fayetteville. KJ Jefferson ranked as the top SEC quarterback on the new ESPN list. There he is, along with Daniels. A lot of transition going on, but not at Arkansas. Mason Choate joined us a couple of years ago when he was a student reporter. Now he's the publisher of hogbeat.com. And Mason, great to see you again. Looks like you've done okay since you moved on as the student reporter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, no, things are great. I'm very blessed, you know, and I love my job. So I'm excited to talk to you today.
Well, I like to hear that. More of us should be saying that. Mason, let's talk about the most important person on this football team right now, and that's KJ. What do you expect? What are you hearing? And let's try to figure out what's going to happen to Sam Pittman after a disappointing year.
Yeah, no, I mean, KJ Jefferson going into his third year as the starting quarterback of Arkansas, that's what you want. You want a guy that's veteran like that. I think, you know, his confidence is at an all-time high. You know, he's improved on his game year after year. And now he's got an offensive coordinator in Dan Enos who brings in a pro-style offense. I feel like it's better fit for KJ if he wants to play at the next level. And so that's good for KJ. And throughout the spring, I feel like we didn't really talk about him much, which – it's because, you know, we know what to expect from KJ, but the thing is he's gotten even better. You know, his accuracy is better. He's got one of the best deep balls, not just in the SEC, but in the country. So that's great for Arkansas. I'm excited to see how he meshes in this new offense with Dan Enos.
And Rocket Sanders was so explosive. Speaking of Enos, how do you think or what do you believe Enos will do with one of the most exciting running backs in the country?
Yeah, so – Rocket, a great running back. The thing is, though, they still have A.J. Green. Rashad DeBinion's a sophomore. So Rocket's going to be the guy. He's going to get the most touches, but they're still going to give those two guys touches. Dominique Johnson's another option, and they got Isaiah Augustab, a freshman coming in, who's going to be really good as well. So, but you mentioned it, Rocket Sanders, one of the most exciting running backs in the country. You know, number two running back as far as yardage goes in the SEC last year. So I expect a big year out of Rocket. I expect him to maybe catch a little bit more passes out of the backfield. And the fact that you return a guy in KJ Jefferson and then also a guy in Rocket Sanders in the backfield, that's a loaded backfield, not just with talent, but with size. Those are two very large individuals, and they're going to be hard to stop.
Mason, I don't want to say everything that could go wrong did, because Arkansas – somehow, some way, won the bowl game, even though it was a narrow one, and it was almost the one of the worst losses in recent Arkansas history after blowing that big lead. But the A&M game got away at the last second. A couple of other games it seemed like the momentum that Sam Pittman had started the first year from the first moment all went away. What are you sensing and hearing from the coaching staff and from that town about where this program is right now and what happens next?
I think Sam Pittman thinks that they're in the same spot that they were, if not better, than that 2021 season when they won the Outback Bowl. So he brought in a bunch of new coaches, new defensive coordinator, new co-defensive coordinator. We talked about Dan Enos. That's a new offensive coordinator, new tight end coach, new secondary coach. So you have a lot of new faces, but I think he's very confident in those guys. They've definitely proved that they're great recruiters. And, you know, as far as the spring practice goes, we can only go off of what we see. And they seem like they're, you know, very encouraging, very, you know, vocal coaches. So you have that. They lost 26 transfers, scholarship transfers to the portal. Brought in 17 so far. You know, they're probably going to bring in a couple more. I think they've got three scholarship spots to fill left. So he's brought in people who want to be at Arkansas, who want to be Razorbacks and who have bought into the culture. And I think that's, you know, part of what the issue was last year on top of injuries. They did have injuries a lot in the secondary that led to them being dead last in pass yards allowed per game last year. But, you know, on the topic of KJ Jefferson, he missed two games. If KJ Jefferson plays those two games, maybe they win those two. And then you look at the Liberty loss, KJ Jefferson was not healthy in that game either. So maybe you don't lose to Liberty at home if you have a healthy KJ Jefferson. There's a lot of what ifs for last year. But as far as this year goes, new coaching staff, new faces on the roster, I think, you know, I feel good about where they're at. I think Sam Pittman does as well. And that's really what we heard from him this spring.
When we talked to him as well, Hunter, he seemed to take the blame, whatever you're supposed to say. But it is still a puzzling question when you hear things like culture issues. You hear things like that a couple of years into a tenure. I know he did a deep dive, but you've already answered the question, but it just still seems puzzling, though, why that could have happened, because that's not the time to start going backwards.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You definitely don't want to go backwards after in year two you win 9 games. Like, you want to be able to build on that, and it was unfortunate that they weren't able to. And so whether it was culture, whether it was injuries, whatever it was, the way I look at it is they have seemingly fixed the problem, you know, brought in new faces, new coaches, new players, and that's all you can go off of right now. And I think so far it's been a success. And, you know, looking towards the future, especially in recruiting, as I mentioned, like they are doing a great job on the recruiting trail. They're already, you know, building for the future on top of building for the team, you know, through the transfer portal for this fall. So I think they're trying to fix it, and that's a great sign to me.
I agree with all that, and I believe in all that. Here's the problem with Arkansas, and it's the problem that everyone has. It's the schedule. You're in the SEC. There's simply nowhere to go. And we'll take a look at the Arkansas schedule in a minute. Starts off easy, Western Carolina, Kent State, BYU. It seems like at home that game ought to go well. And then here it comes, at LSU, A&M in Dallas, at Ole Miss, at Alabama. Right there, Hunter, you're talking about a 4-game stretch where it is going to be hard to find a win.
Yeah, the tough thing is like all four of those games, LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, Alabama, those are all away from home. And you also have to factor in the Western Carolina game in week one. That's at War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. So of your first 7 games there, you're looking at 5 of those being away from Fayetteville. So that's going to be tough, you know, in and of itself. But then you're looking at LSU, at LSU, Texas A&M, that game is always competitive no matter, you know, how good either team is there in Arlington. And then you go on the road to Ole Miss and Alabama back-to-back. That, I mean, it doesn't get really tougher than that, in my opinion. You know, you're lucky that you're starting with Western Carolina and Kent State. Hopefully you can win those 2 games, start out 2-0. But then you got BYU. I mean, BYU is always a tough team. So it's going to be hard for them
but
to
Mason,
win this
the,
game.
The good, Mason, the good news is, and it's not really good news if you're Sam Pittman, but even if Arkansas lost all 4 of those games, Mason, they probably should win out. So I don't know where the line of demarcation is, but somewhere in there, they're going to have to find a win. The Florida game looks dangerous. I don't know if it really is or not, but there's not going to be any margin for error after that.
No, and you know, to me, the biggest thing in that is staying healthy, right? That's what hurt you last year. You know, I talked about the Liberty game. Like, that's a game that you should win, but you don't have a healthy quarterback. You didn't really have a healthy secondary. So if they're able to stay healthy, you have a third-year starter in KJ Jefferson. They've brought in some veteran transfers who I think are going to make a difference this year. You know, at receiver, at defensive line, at linebacker, like they've filled in the weaknesses that they had. So can they, you know, turn that into wins on the field? That's to be determined.
Mason Cho with the latest on the Razorbacks. Always good to see you, Mason. Come back soon. We will talk more about this in a few minutes. More of your phone calls as well as we come back here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Patrick is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? First off, as an Ole Miss fan in Arkansas, I'd like to say hotty totty. But I'm excited about where the Ole Miss program is going and all that kind of good stuff. We could talk about Chris Beard or Yolette McQueen or anything like that. But really what I wanted to ask you about is just your opinion on the out-of-conference schedule heading further with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. What do you think is going to, you know, Ole Miss has a home-and-home with USC. Do you think they're going to change those schedules around, or is there going to be more or less of like a Big Five or Power Five scheduling in the future?
I think they'll stay with Power Fives because they may need it. We're talking now about a 12-team playoff, so a loss is not going to be devastating. In fact, the entire calculus of college football is going to change next year. You can get in a 12-team playoff with a couple of losses, depending on the quality. It's not automatic, but I think schools are going to have to up the ante or continue to up the ante with non-conference games. Thank you very much for your call. Shane is in Kentucky. Hello, Shane.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's my opinion on how the NIL can be improved.
Okay.
One being, I'm not sure exactly the logistics of everything, so this may already be happening, but instead of getting these kids, like paying them in a lump sum, tell them that you're going to get paid in installments throughout the entire school year. And if you do anything to embarrass the university, or I assume it's boosters and small businesses who are supplying the money for these young men and women, if you embarrass my business, you're not getting another penny from me. And maybe even throw in something, well, you're going to have to pay me back. That's one way. Second way, and this is what all my buddies are saying, it's watered down sports. These kids don't care if they, you know, they're getting paid. They don't care if they win, lose, whatever. But all coaches get bonuses. And in essence, this is pretty much like a free agency contract. So why not throw in, okay, hey, if your team wins this many games, not only are you going to get this, but we're going to throw in a bonus. If you rush for this many yards, if your QB rating stays above this, you know, I think it could be used to an advantage and actually help college sports. I was just wondering what your opinion
Shane,
on that
those are,
would
those
be.
Shane, those are interesting suggestions, and they're practical. However, to do what you have suggested, we're going to have to classify the athletes as employees, and we can't do that under the current archaic rules of the NCAA. So I think they're stuck right now, and I think most of the damage isn't necessarily done in NIL. I think that is fairly well organized right now. it's the transfer portal that is killing it, because that's where the big money is. That's where you have these nefarious agents under rocks making deals, and that money is straight up. I don't know how they make it work. I don't know how they get by the standards of the sport. But once you pay that money to keep a player or to get a player, you're not giving it back because it's already done. Thank you for the call. Interesting suggestion, though. Will is up next. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I got a question for you. I don't want to get too far off your subject today, but years ago, and the reason I've asked you this is they've been posting a lot of stuff on Facebook about Kenny Stabler. Do you remember when you were still in Birmingham and you kind of cracked up their, what was it, summer sports of football or camps?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about probably the first article I did that got noticed outside of my zip code. It was at the very beginning.
Didn't they kind of treat you as the enemy on that deal?
Well, yes. What happened was Stabler had a football camp at Marion Military Institute. I think that speaks for itself, right? And he invited a bunch of media down, national media, local yokels like me. And I didn't know there were rules. I didn't realize that. I mean, I was a young 20-something reporter, one of my first big assignments. So I walked in, and there was Stabler with a very attractive blonde on his lap, drinking beer. A bunch of his former teammates from the Raiders, his current teammates, were there. They were all drinking beer. The night progressed into, it was an endless night that dealt with some of the civil rights figures from Selma's past. That we went to Selma next to a political rally. It lasted all night. I mean, you don't go out with Kenny Stabler. It consisted of the city attorney of Selma throwing beer cans out the window, laughing about the speeding limit. Anyway, the story came out 2 days later on the front page of the newspaper, and there were parents who had their young kids in that football camp. It was a Kenny Stabler football camp at Marion Military, and they were in shock that there was beer and women and carousing. So there was a long line of parents outside the camp trying to, you know, waiting to get their kids to pull them out because it was such a den of debauchery. And Stabler's attorney, Henry Pitts, first threatened to sue me and then pretty much threatened to kill me. I say that because Henry just passed away a couple of years ago. We later became very close friends, as did I with Stabler. That was the story that really kind of first put me on the map.
Yep, I was working in Birmingham. I couldn't remember the exact situation, but it stirred up a hornet's nest.
In fact, Craig Stevenson from AL.com about 2 years ago went back and did a retrospect however many years later, like 40 years later. And I was, we got caught up in the middle of a political campaign, too.
They caused them to shut down the camp, didn't they?
I don't think the camp ever recovered. but it's funny, a friend of mine, Henry Pitts, called a friend of mine and started screaming and hollering. And he said, I'm going to sue him and I'm going to own that newspaper. And the guy asked Henry, he said, Henry, is it true? He said, well, yeah, it's true. He said, well, then he said, you're not going to go there. It is a fact that I don't know if I've ever acknowledged this, that the next day at the camp, I interviewed Stabler's girlfriend, which I didn't realize was verboten. So he grabbed me the next day and dragged me into a room, and he put his finger in my face and said, if you ever get near her again, I will kill you. I don't think I ever said that because I didn't want to make Stabler's life any worse. By the way, all this happened a year after Kenny Stabler's people had set up a reporter. Do you remember this in Gulf Shores? A a sports writer from Sacramento flew to Gulf Shores to interview Stabler, and he was very negative towards Stabler, and they got this guy busted on a fake cocaine allegation.
And oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, you didn't mess with Kenny Stabler, and he threatened me. I just kind of laughed it off because once I got in my car and headed back to Birmingham, I figured I would be safe. But it was quite an ordeal.
Well, I'm glad you finished the story, or I at least told the story. But appreciate it, Paul.
Well, thank you. The greatest hits from my sports writing career. I will not make a mistake allowing Squirrel to be heard. Good afternoon.
Well, this Kenny Stabler talk inspired me. You know, I told you I worked offshore for 8 years. For during them 8 years, I lived in Gulf Shores.
Right.
And it was through 81 through 88. And it was during that time you were talking about when the reporter got the cocaine planted in his car. But he was my childhood idol. And apparently when I was in that week, he and I had the same schedule because we both ended up at the post office around the same time. They didn't deliver mail to you in Gulf Shores. There was a central post office by the Winn-Dixie. And so we got to nodding at each other and what have you. And then finally I got introduced to him a few months later or a year later, whatever. And it got to the point where I got invited to sit at his table a few times. And the last time I saw him was the night he got inducted, I think, to the Hall of Fame up in Birmingham.
Right.
When he put his wife out on the side of the highway, if you remember that. We ran into him.
I was at that event and I covered that. There was some terrible altercation with Stabler. I can't remember exactly what it was.
He put Rose out on the side of the road, but that's just
He threw his wife out of the car.
You said you interviewed his girlfriend. You know he wrote that book, Snake. And he's got a chapter in that book pretty much devoted to her and the life around Gulf Shores. Was her name Wanda?
It was. Wanda is what they call it.
Wickedly Wonderful Wanda.
Yeah.
I got cougared by her, Paul, a few times.
Really?
I was in my 20s. She was in her probably 30s or 40s. And she was working for a developer named Jim Rayfield, who's dead now.
Sure.
But I got cougared by her and... I'd like to talk to you off the air. Well,
that can be arranged easily, like right now. Forget the show.
Just remind me sometime when we're together. But I can tell you some stories. That's all I got to say, but I can't say them on the air. Let's put it that way.
It took a long time to get back into the Snake's world, but I did end up getting to know him. And we were traveling back from somewhere once from a charity golf event. I do remember it now. We were sitting, and he told me the stories he told me, which you probably heard most of them already. He's one of the great storytellers of all, and they're all true.
And even people around there would tell me stories about him and his Raider buddies when they would come into town.
Do you remember the line that Bryant reportedly told him? He called him in one day, and I mean, he just had Joe Namath, and Kenny followed Namath, and he said, Kenny, he said, you're my quarterback, but don't leave your game in the parking lot the night before.
Well, he hung out at a place called the Seagull, which was an after hours bar. I mean, literally, you didn't get there till 1 o'clock, and you could walk out at times, and the sun would be hitting you in the face, but everybody was jet fueled.
Do this favor for me, Squirrel. The night I spent with him, I didn't even realize it at the time. I mean, I knew who he was, but one of the guys in the entourage turned out to be the former head coach at the University of Alabama. I will tell you that story. I cannot tell you that story on the air because he's a good man and he's a preacher now and a high school coach, and I would never demean his reputation. We're up against the break. We come back with so much more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And I-Man is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
I was scrolling through the internet the other day, and I saw where the band War was going to be playing some of the casinos.
Oh, really?
Did you ever get a chance to see them?
Never.
They were fantastic. I got to do a show with them. They came to Montgomery and played at one of the high schools for a Mother's Day event in the early 80s. And they were just bringing their instruments. So we provided the PA lights and all that kind of stuff and got to hang out and meet them. And it was just an amazing show. I mean, to hear all those songs live in front of you, you know, 15, 20 feet away, pretty badass. You know, I was also kind of flipping around on the channels when I got home. And this term, artificial intelligence, AI, keeps coming up. Some of these people that call from, you know, out of the country and that kind of thing, they don't have artificial intelligence button on their phone, do they?
I think they are AI callers, because I don't think a real person could sound like any of these people.
Well, you know, you may have solved it there. That is artificial intelligence. That's as good as it gets with some of those folks. And, you know, I've been jammed up. I was not able to get to Phyllis's funeral, but I do want to say rest in peace, you know, to her family. And just God bless her heart. She was a hell of a lady, and she meant a lot to this program, a lot to the callers. And I'm just going to say that and tell you have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much, I-Man. You take care of yourself. You be well. Let's continue, and Homer is up next.
Whew, that's Paul. How are you this fine
day?
Man, I'm getting to follow my two favorite callers, the two best callers, Squirrel and I-Man. I'm overwhelmed.
Why, I'm so glad to hear from you. So what have you been doing?
Just out in the yard, trying to get my garden going, my flower beds. I got some canned lilies and some philodendrons and some ferns. And that's about it. But, man, they get nasty on the show today.
It's a rough place.
Why come that fella called up at the first of the show and got on Larry so bad? What is it?
Oh, I just think it depends, Homer. Hey, listen, you take care of yourself. Let's go to the next AI caller, AJ. Oh, it's AJ, not AI. I'm sorry.
AJ from Pell City, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing today?
Very well.
Good, good. Hey, speaking of Larry and Hank Jr. earlier, I was wanting to sing a song, Larry, for you, because on behalf of you, to be able to complete that call, that complaint that he had, I got a little song for him, Larry. And this is from Paul, Larry. So it's not from AJ, it's from Paul. Take this job and shove it. I ain't a roll tighter anymore. Take this job and shove it. I'm running with a Georgia Bulldog through that championship door. And take this job and shove it. Larry, you ain't important anymore. But take this job and shove it. Feinbaum's money coming from Georgia's championship door. Happy Mother's Day, Jim.
started in.
Cheerleader is next.
Hello.
How are you?
So glad. I'm good. I'm so glad to be here. And not you don't have too many callers that call in and say, I don't have anything to say. I don't know anything. I need to be brought up to date. And so what's something real new I hadn't heard lately?
Well, cheerleader, we had a guest earlier, Ari Wasserman, who said that Georgia is on the verge of having the greatest recruiting class ever.
Well, you know what I think about all these people that say all these things, Alabama included? Talk is talk, and I like to see the games and see how the folks play. And I know for a fact that sometimes the people with the best credentials don't make the best of themselves in whatever they're doing.
Well, Chiller, that is correct, and I think A&M last year is a perfect example of that. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing better. You take care of yourself. Burner is up next. Hey, Burner.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing today?
Burner, we are great. Thank you.
Hey, and thank you so much. I think last time we had talked from down here at the Panhandle, Florida, we had talked about I'd went to that Marion Institute camp, and I think I sent you a couple pictures if y'all got them.
I think we did, yes.
Okay, well, that was me in 1976, and, you know, even though what old Snake done, I reckon Snake was the Snake, he was a heck of a player. He made me pull for Oakland, too. And but in that deal was, I got to hang out with Saber. I caught a touchdown pass from him. I caught a punt from Ray Guy. Now, kind of reward was that for a kid, you know? And they knocked out two or three youngins, you know, Ray Guy's punts did. And Lyle Alzado, I ate lunch with him, and Otis Sistrunk.
By the way, they were all the same guys that were there the year I was there, the same crew.
In 1976?
No, I was there in the 80s, but all those guys were there that day.
Well, and I understand every bit of your point and everything about what was right and what was wrong, but, man, let me tell you, the prize I got as a kid to have that moment is unbelievable.
No, I'm glad you did, Burner. And in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have done what I did, but I didn't know any better. I was sent down to cover something, and I covered it. That was the way the system worked. I later learned that wasn't the way it worked in Alabama. We will take a break. We are back with much more. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.